Tune for the Positive Mind with Armand DeMille.
Armand DeMille with you, with the Positive Mind, here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Tuesdays and almost Wednesdays. Well, it's confusing. We're going to get it all straightened out here with you. But let's start with what we have today. You know, today we're going to talk about a few things and not from the obvious point, a gratitude. You know, every time somebody does a program on gratitude, they tell you the bottom line. If you let yourself feel more gratitude, you wind up doing better in life. We're going to examine that. Then we're also going to examine favors, paybacks, thoughtlessness. And we're going to look today at what it's like for the people who are alone on the holidays. But let's start off with gratitude, the idea. You prepare a Thanksgiving dinner. Now, if you're one of the elders, if you're the one holding the dinner, you have all the fixings, and it takes quite a bit of work. It takes a lot of work to get it done. I mean, it could take you 2-3 days in advance. Then everybody comes over. They put down their coats. They kiss you hello. They eat your food. They mess up your house. Some may help with the dishes. Most won't, and you put the whole thing together, and then they leave. Do you think anybody says, thanks? Thanks for providing the holiday. Thanks for making those pies. Thanks, you know. Well, is that necessary? Many people just figure it's not necessary at all. Who needs it? Part of my doing is the giving. How about this? You give gifts at Christmas. And you give some gifts to children, and you expect that they're going to like it. You spend all your time planning the gift, 3 months to get a gift, and then you spend 20 minutes doing the gift wrapping, and you spend another 10 minutes thinking about the note. And they get it, they rip it open, they look at it, and they say thank you, and they would say thank you to anything you gave them anyway. What do you expect? Gratitude? So gratitude has some rules to it that might be interesting. Individuals are more likely to experience gratitude when they receive a favor that is perceived by, number one, valued by the recipient. So if you give some teenage kids socks, they may not experience gratitude because they don't value socks. You know, I mean, if you got them a CD of something they might like, or music or something, they may like it. Number two, it has to be costly to the benefactor. You experience gratitude when you know a person's done something and it's cost them something to do it. If you're like any of the people I know, like Thelma, makes dinner for a whole bunch of people, she breaks her back. It is costly to put together that dinner, and she does it with love. But when it's costly to the other person, you're more likely to be grateful. Now, if it was just somebody who had a lot of money and they had millions of dollars and they gave you $100 and it didn't mean anything, you're not very likely to feel gratitude. I knew a man who used to pride himself. He was a millionaire. He used to walk around town every Christmas with bocce chocolates, these little chocolates that you could, B-A-C-C-I or something, little chocolates. And he'd go around and he'd go to homeless people and give them a piece of chocolate. And he would brag about how they showed such enormous gratitude for his little piece of chocolate. And I would look at him and I would say, but you could take care of these folks. But the truth of it was they were grateful for the chocolate. Because that little thought, that sweetness, that moment in their lives meant something to them. A third rule of gratitude is that it's given by the benefactor with benevolent intentions and not just to manipulate you. Because, you know, if you have a boss who's suddenly gracious with you, but it doesn't cost the boss anything and they're going to manipulate you and do something and get you to work at another time, that's not as much. That's not as good. So a couple of studies were done on the value, the desirability or value of a benefit. And that one, what would be the one factor that would increase the intensity of the gratitude? And they noted that it cost, if you could actually feel that it was at some cost to the benefactor and that it was well intended. Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Regarding benefit value, the recipient has to perceive the benefit as something positive and desirable. If the benefactor believes that the benefit is valuable, but the recipient does not, the recipient will not experience gratitude. You give somebody something and they don't like it, they don't necessarily see its value, you know, they're not going to feel grateful. Similarly, the recipient has to value receiving it as well. So, all in all, my friends, I am saying that gratitude is not something that is automatic. It has the three basic rules given by somebody at a cost to them, even if the cost is time. If they give you their time, let's say you fall down and somebody picks you up. Well, there's another thing they learned about gratitude. If somebody in your family helps you out, it's not as valuable as if a stranger does. If a stranger picks you up after you fall down and spends significant time with you, you feel far more grateful to that stranger than you do to your own family members. Gratitude was very important because in our world, as we were developing, as humans were developing, the thing they needed to figure out is that we have to collaborate with each other. We have to help each other. And so as a species developing, we evolved in part to help sensitize each other's to true altruistic acts. And so you had to have somebody, everybody was kind of giving to everybody to make it so that we would all get along better. And getting along better was very important. Now, another thing about gratitude is empathy. Empathy is very important for gratitude, as the recipient has to take the perspective of the benefactor in order to perceive the benefactor's good intentions. So if you're receiving a gift and you don't have empathy, you can't understand the benefactor had this extraordinarily good intention. And if you're a benefactor and you don't have empathy, you can't perceive exactly what the person needs. Again, it gets in the way of the gratitude. It's nice to feel grateful. It's nice. But when life is tough and you barely get through and you're barely making it, it's very hard to stop and say thank you for this life I have. It's very, very tough. That's why it's always nice to be able to move someplace where you're helpful to other people. And when you're helpful to other people and you find their gratitude to you for helping them, like working in a kitchen, working in a place where you could be helpful to people at these times, doing something for somebody else and getting nothing back in return. Sometimes the biggest gift you can get back is your own gratitude for helping them. Sometimes it takes a person, like, I'm grateful that I could help you people. It is, I appreciate it. I thank you for the ability to help you. Gratitude is not easy. It can't be expected. It can be earned. Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Now, another extension of that, we're going to go to someone. Let's talk about a typical work situation. Someone at work who isn't particularly a friend or foe asks you to do a favor. What happens if you say no? Okay. Do you grant the favor? How do you decide what to do? When someone at work asks for a favor, you might grant it on the grounds of friendship, teamwork, or affection. But at times, we receive collegial or business-like requests for favors from people who are neither friend nor foe. Let's assume that they have no ethical questions here, that it would be perfectly proper to say either yes or no. How do you decide what to do? To decide what to do, consider both your choices and the seekers. What are your choices? Number one, you could grant the favor. If the effort involved is minimal and the negative consequence to you are minimal, granting a favor is a good choice. Or another option, deny the favor. People sometimes get unhappy when you say no, and sometimes they act out of anger or disappointment. Denying a favor can have negative consequences. But if you're sure nothing too terrible would happen, denying the favor is a possibility. Defer the favor is another thing that we do. You might suggest that it isn't convenient or possible right now, and suggest to people. Oops. And suggest to people that you'll do it at another time. Another thing you could do is what's called making a counteroffer. If granting, denying, or deferring aren't appealing options, perhaps you can offer something else instead. Somebody says, can you lend me a pencil? No, but would you like my pen? That's one. Figuring out what to offer is easier with help and advice. You can ask the seeker directly or consult someone else. The one thing we know for sure, when people ask for advice, what I've learned is they never really want it. Especially if it's advice about romance or about their personal lives. If they want to know how to get to the museum, that's a different story. But most people asking you personal advice, they're asking you for something they don't want. Now, here are the responses from people who are seekers, appreciative. If you grant a favor, the appreciative seeker expresses appreciation and returns the favor. If you don't expect an appreciative response, you aren't indebted yourself. But if somebody asks you to do them a favor and then they don't say thank you, that's kind of costly for the future. Vengeful, if you don't grant a favor, the vengeful person might extract a price from you or threaten to do so. And thoughtless, a thoughtless seeker accepts what you have to offer with little expression of appreciation. Granting big favors to the unappreciative gets tiresome quickly. Do you ever feel like you were just being used by people? You know, they're just using me. The passive seeker doesn't mind much when you deny the favor. It's tempting to simply deny the requests. But take care. Passivity in people very often can arise from powerlessness. And when it does, and when it's coupled with a long memory, vengeful payback at a later day seems to happen. Beware the passive people. They're going to get back at you. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. But you don't have to be too careful crossing the streets. Hey, we're going to take your calls later today at 212-209-2900. We're with you today. We will not be with you tomorrow. Tomorrow, WBAI is experimenting with someone else doing a program at 1 o'clock. And a lot of you have been contacting us about the changes in the schedules. What I can say to you is evaluate what you see in changes. Listen to the morning show. Listen to the music. Listen to Gary Null. Listen to the changes that we take place. And be fair. The station needs your fair evaluation. Don't just be addicted to one style, but send a letter to the station. I recommend you send it in regular mail. But if you want to send it by email, you can. just send it and say, here's what I believe, here's what I hear, here's what I like. And be careful, just don't do the critical. Try to evaluate it, because they are trying. The station is trying a new format, and your response is essential. Hey, you know, the holidays are upon us once again, and for many, it's a time of year where they spend it alone. There are many reasons this occurs, whether it's because we can't afford to go home or we have no home to travel to. Sometimes we just find ourselves alone for the holidays. I remember when we used to broadcast on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and because everybody else was away, I would come to the station and broadcast. And I've been alone for Thanksgiving. I've been alone for Christmas. Sure, it's easy to fall into a funk and begin to feel sorry for yourself and your situation. Sometimes it's by choice, and other times it isn't. In any case, when you're alone for Thanksgiving, you try to find a way to make the most of your situation and look at it with a very short-term perspective. I may be alone this year, but who knows what will happen by next year. The worst case scenario about all of these holidays, including New Year's, especially New Year's, is remember, you could always go to sleep, and tomorrow the day will be over. For a lot of people, that's exactly what they do. New Year's Eve, close the ears, shut the doors, they don't want to be a part of it. January 2nd is a reprieve. It's also great, a great time to do something completely different and go outside of your comfort zone or shell of security. If you've never volunteered at a food bank or kitchen, give it a try. Gather together a few fellow co-workers or friends you think are going to be alone for the holidays and throw your own little holiday potluck dinner, or maybe gather your friends and say, let's go. Sir, but of course, if you don't have any friends, there are so many places that would welcome you and welcome your help. One year, when I was alone for the holidays, I spent a day helping out a local food bank. It wasn't something I ordinarily do, but I'm always a little nervous going into a situation that I'd never been before. But it was great. It was great. And a young man the other day, he was 17, asked me, what could he do on the holidays to make it different? And I said, volunteer your time and see what that's like. It helps you take your mind off the problems that you have of the day. It makes you feel like you have some meaning. Some people do not enjoy volunteering. I understand that. Remember, you can be alone for the holidays and not have to feel lonely. You don't have to be depressed. And if you feel like you're missing out on the ideal holiday Hallmark scene, it helps to be brought back to reality. For most families, holidays are often a time of stress combined with a time of togetherness. It's not all flowers and sunshine. And some people absolutely dread getting together with their families because of their family expectation of togetherness. That's only part of the problem. And many of you just opt to not be with your families because it's such a miserable time. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be taking your call. There's so much hype about the wonderful time of togetherness. It accentuates the feeling of being alone and disconnected. And although we may sometimes feel very much alone in the world, we are the makers of our own reality and feelings. If you're alone this Thanksgiving or Christmas, change your expectations. Change something up this holiday season. Change your holiday instead of being just feeling lonely and sorry for yourself to one of being alone and okay with it. Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. Hey, let's take one or two of your calls, and then we'll go back to doing a little more programming. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there. Good. Who is this?
How are you? My name is Thomas.
Hello, Thomas.
I just am reflecting upon the new formats that you have put together with WBAI. I really find it refreshing. I find it incisive. I also find it, we're like a WBAI on steroids now. And I just couldn't imagine what it must have meant for the managers to have to disengage the painful relationship they had to move the program around to to better service your customer base.
Good for you.
I just wanted to know, I truly appreciate it. I really, really do. And I think a lot of your listeners are in the same boat as me.
Good. I would like to hear from them as well. Thank you very much, Tom, for calling in.
You're welcome, Armin. Take care.
All right, 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armin DeMille.
Hello.
Hi there. I hear you.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
My situation, family and with the holidays, my parents are in denial about so many things that have gone on between people in the family, children and adults and so forth, and they're in denial, and then they expect me as their son to show up at their house, for a meal, as though nothing were wrong, and I'm trying to get them to at least begin to acknowledge things that have happened, and it's almost like I have to go through a third intermediary. I have to speak to a lawyer in order to speak to them, because they have a difficult time dealing with it at their age, unfortunately.
Well, what would happen if they don't get it? You see, what are you looking for? Are you looking for redemption? Are you looking for to get even? What are you looking for? Sure, they screwed up. Absolutely. Now, what would you like them to do? Would you like a little flagellation, some tears, some regrets? What are you looking for? Remorse?
I guess I'm looking for some contrition, in a way.
Yeah.
I'm looking for them to, because I get a pat on the back, or and then a kick in the butt,
sure.
Kind of a situation, you know?
So what would a good contrition be? What would an act of contrition be?
I'm not quite even a letter.
Well, think about it. Think about it for a minute.
Yeah, my parents don't even know my children that well. And they're even grown up now. My youngest son is 15, and my parents hardly even know him. And when my son, for instance, wrote my father a letter 2 years ago, complaining or at least trying to discuss some of the issues that have gone on in the family, my father had no reaction, no response.
Okay, what's your name? Your name?
My Vic.
Vic. Okay, so here's what I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine you're getting a letter in the mail right now, and it's from your father. And it says the following. It says, "Dear son, I know what we did that was wrong. It was very painful when I realized how stupid I had been in bringing you up. But I got it. I live with the pain and the knowledge of it every day. I don't know how to do better. I don't know how to change. Would you please forgive me? And never mention it again." How would
See,
that be?
I could deal with something like that.
Okay,
but
Vic, imagine you just got the letter. Just make the letter happen in your mind. And nothing has to be different. In fact, I'll say to you as your father, I'll say, and I may make believe I don't know what you're talking about, but I really do. So what you do to get yourself off the hook is let the letter come to you. Let them, you know what I mean? You don't have to forgive them. You don't have to do any of that. But don't wait for the contrition. You know, it's not going to happen. They can't afford to do it.
And we try to, in a way we've tried to do that. And it's so, it's almost like, we're like waiting for the shoe to drop, It's one thing. What they realize is it's almost like Chinese water torture, where it's just been little things, drop and a drop and a drop, to the point where it becomes, the damage is.
So why do you imagine you keep going back to them?
because I'm tied to them,
Tied how?
Financially, it's a bit complicated.
So this goes back to what I said about gratitude. Here they are.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And that's when I was listening before, exactly. I heard that part.
Yeah, here they are, but certainly not engendering any gratitude, even though they're giving you money. The whole money thing is a problem. It's a trap.
Yeah, exactly. It's strings.
Yeah.
So,
So now I have another question about contrition. And this has to do with whether you forgive yourself for taking the money, for being dependent on them. You know, obviously, Vic, things didn't go all right for you. Obviously, things didn't go according to plan. Obviously, somewhere along the line, you had to ask for favors or ask for help, or you were given help. Do you forgive Vic for that?
I guess I just assumed that it was my sister had gotten favors, had gotten, you know, help, and so I didn't see any reason why I wouldn't be deserving of help.
The fact that you needed it at all, do you forgive Vic for having made the kind of life where he needs the help? Because I think you're not. I think you're putting yourself on task. You know, it's very, very, very hard to be a grown-up. It's very hard. It's not easy. And everybody, we kind of expect everybody's going to get through it real easily. And you tried real hard, but, you know, you fell down in a couple of places.
Well, you know, it's my God, yeah, it's difficult even to talk much further about specific things on, you know, on the radio, but... I guess I had certain, I anticipated certain things, or I had expected certain things would go in a way, and, you know, it's as though, like I said, you know, you're getting a smile on the face and a stab in the back.
Absolutely, but you see, that's not just with them, it's what happened your whole life, even in your business. A good friend of mine, Peter Hogan, once said, depression is always the result of a manipulation that failed. Very interesting concept. We try to manipulate our environment. We try to do something. We try to become a boss. We try to own something. We try to do something. And when it doesn't work out, we get depressed. And then one of the things that save you from sinking into the depression is this resentment, blaming other people. Well, the trouble with blaming other people is if you're blaming them, you're also blaming yourself. And I think if we were to start off this season or this year with something new, Vic, I think the best thing we could do is a clean slate with you forgiving Vic for everything he ever did that didn't work out. When you've got that, you won't be as dependent on your family. And you won't feel this need for them to be contritious. Thank you for calling in, my friend.
Yes, thank you very much.
Best of holidays to you.
Thank you, too.
This is Armand DeMille. Think about feelings. Anger, what a feeling, huh? Hostility, another feeling. Self-consciousness. Oof. Depression. How about impulsiveness? Vulnerability. How are those for feelings? Those are rough feelings. We all feel them at some time. Imagine the opposite. Warmth. Gregariousness. Assertiveness. Positive emotions. How about fantasy, aesthetics, ideas, values, trust, straightforwardness, tender-mindedness, feeling competent, feeling dutiful, feeling self-discipline, feeling deliberate. All of these things are quite remarkable to be able to feel. But go back to the first ones. Anger, hostility, vulnerability, self-consciousness, depression, impulsiveness. Those are tough feelings. It's tough to live with those. And you may. But there's nobody to blame. It's just the way it is. But we're all going to get through, my friends. We're all going to get through it together, in one way or another. This is Armand DeMille with you through The Positive Mind. I'm with you today. I will not be here tomorrow or Thursday, but back with you next Tuesday. And I'll be on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. We're going to take a short break. And after our break, I'll come back to you with a little music and some more of your telephone calls. Be right back.
Every morning find me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
Cause of all the trouble I see.
Yes, Lord.
Life's a losing gamble to me.
Yes, Lord.
Cares and woes have got me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
Every evening find me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
I'm alone and crying the blues.
Yes, Lord.
I'm so tired of paying these dues.
Yes, Lord.
Everybody knows I'm moaning.
Yes, Lord. Lord, I spent plenty of days and nights alone with my grief, alone with my grief. Lord, I'd pray, really, truly pray, somebody will come and bring me relief.
Every morning find me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
Cause of all the trouble I see.
Yes, Lord.
Life's a losing gamble to me.
Yes, Lord.
Cares and woes have got me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
Find me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
I'm alone and crying the blues.
Yes, Lord.
I'm so tired of paying these dues.
Yes, Lord.
Everybody knows I'm moaning.
Yes, Lord. Lord, I try, really and truly try, to find some relief, find some relief. Lord, I spend plenty of days and nights along with my
Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross. Moanin'. That's Moanin' by Horace Silver, sung by Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross. A whole musical genre that was lost. Something very, very special if you want to go back and check on it. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, 212-209-2900. We're taking calls today because it's the only chance I have to be on the air with you this week. And you are my family, and I am yours. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
2900.
Turn down your radio. Thank you.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Armand. How are you? This is Guillermo.
Guillermo, how are you? How nice to hear from you.
Oh, thank you so much, Armand. I'm doing well. What about you?
Good.
I don't want to take too much of your time, so a lot of people can call. I just want to talk to you about this holiday. I missed the beginning of the show, though.
Uh-huh.
But I heard you talking about holidays and different feelings about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I have a situation with the real history behind that holiday. And for the last probably 5 to 6 years, I'm being very against it, personally. But that puts me in a very unique situation among members in my family. Since I'm probably the only one who has this kind of way of looking at it. So the majority of them that don't really know that I feel this way. Some of them do. And I'm just like coming to a point that I'm deciding not to be part of that anymore completely. But at the same time, I have this this amount of mixed feelings and emotions that sometimes I feel like I'm might not be doing the right thing.
Well,
to
Guillermo, what are you doing? You're not going. Is it that you have this negative feeling about the holidays for some reason?
Yeah.
What's it about?
Well, I decided to learn more about how the Thanksgiving holiday started.
So it's the holiday itself you're taking issue with.
Right.
And you don't want to celebrate it. Is there some way of celebrating it, of celebrating with your family? If you say to them, look, I have an ethical disagreement about this holiday.
Right.
they won't go along with that.
They kind of like look at it as I am, I don't know, being, I guess, a lunatic or, you know, creating things or just being exaggerated, you know, some kind of that, that I'm not serious about. In other words, I feel like they're not really respecting, since I'm probably the only one that is making, you know, making that decision.
We very often do that, Guillermo. We get stuck with an ethical decision that we can't cross over, but I don't expect anybody else to follow me. See, you're doing it here at a holiday time when they probably miss you so much. You're such a lovely man. And they miss you, and you can't go and celebrate with them because you think really that Thanksgiving is a time of grieving, you know?
Right.
And you can't go for the celebration. So maybe there's a way that you could do it differently. Do you know what I mean? Maybe there's a way you could represent differently without having to take away from their belief system, but also without without violating your own ethical principles.
Because I know they want to see me. I know they want me to be part of the whole, you know, day, and they want me to be there. They show their love for me. That's at least that's the way it's being presented. And that's the part that stopped me and said, you know, are you doing something for the good of everybody? Are you being selfish? And I come up with all these questions, and I'm like, but what about me? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that I should be part of that.
Okay, so tell us, what is your ethical disagreement, yours specifically?
That we should be mourning that day. We shouldn't be celebrating.
Mourning, why would we be mourning?
Because when you go back, or at least that's what I did, and I read the history behind it, there were Indians killed. There was a massacre of Indians.
So could it possibly be that there's a time to take some kind of a positive way, other than grieving? Is there a positive thing you could do to help make up for some of the damage that was done?
Yeah, I was just listening to you about volunteering.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I definitely am going to look into it in the area.
I think that's a really important thing for you, Guillermo.
I took the idea right away, and I'm pretty sure that in the area I'm going to find something that day to do.
Thank you. You're a beautiful man, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you, man. Nice talking to you again.
Yes. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Well, happy holidays.
And are you surprised?
In what way?
Weren't you surprised that you got on air?
Oh, yeah, because I was on hold for a minute, and I felt such a heart crepitation. I thought, my, I have to hang up. I cannot deal with this.
I wonder how many people do that. They hang up.
I was going to ask you the same.
Yeah. So, anyway, you got here, and here you are now.
Yeah.
Is your heart still palpitating?
Oh, I think it's better, because I was listening to the last person and got really into it. So it kind of took me away. And it was really helpful to refocus. And that, I think, was exactly what I was going to say about gratitude. I learned to refocus from expecting anything back by just, maybe it's my profession taught me. I changed the line of work. And now giving is 100% of time. I'm a costume designer, and never money I get paid. I'm paying for the cost of the gift I do, because there's so much behind work, which I know is a gift. And when people are grateful for it, it's usually a big surprise for me, because most of the time they're so preoccupied, they're so busy, and if it's not the act of aggression or criticism, which rude or something, it's even. And I learned just to expect it to be even and not wait for any thank you or anything. When it comes, it is such a present. It stays with you, and you just feel so much love when it's unexpected.
You know, it's a very interesting thing. You say, I never expect anything. But when gratitude comes, then you disown it. You said, you feel wonderful. So it's almost like there's something, You go from the eye as the suffering eye who never expected, and as soon as you get it, when you get it from people, let me ask you something. What is the one thing about you that nobody really knows? What is the one thing about you that most people never see? Because you're a costume designer. You're a person who helps people be other than they are.
Yeah.
What is the one thing about you
that no
people
idea.
Don't know? Mo, take a look inside. Do you have, are you living with someone?
No, that's kind of doesn't work.
I know, what doesn't work?
Relationships. Maybe
relationships
because
don't
expectations.
Work. Because they're expectations. Because they're expectations of you?
The expectations from other person.
Right.
I have to work on that one because...
So what is the thing that they don't understand about you?
That kind word would live with me for many years. And there's no kind word. I get wilted.
So when you were a child, were there a lot of unkind words?
No, not in the family. No, I was very loved, and that's why I wanted it at home. I'm so used to it. Both my mother and father were so supportive. I don't think they ever told me no to any project. I was, you know, remodeling the house when I was five. It was fine.
So it must have been very difficult when you get out there in the world and you see people are not as kind.
Yeah, there was a lot of criticism from society. We had, you know, there was no space for any versatility or any individualism or any talent, basically, in the system we were growing up. Even I went to art school. It seems like they were trying to make us all the same and suspecting that we are mentally ill if we like purple color or something ridiculous. And that's where I got fear for society, I guess.
And yeah, if you hear, you have all these people trying to make you the same. And what do? For a living? You design costumes so that everybody could be different.
Yeah.
What is your costume? What would be your very, very favorite costume that you would wear?
I dress as a white poodle for every Halloween. Makes people really happy.
You're a white poodle. And what? Yes. Tell me something about the white poodle. Give me three words to describe a white poodle.
First of all, it looks really sexy.
Okay.
And shows my best. And it's also, we love dogs because they bring happiness.
See, you're sexy and lovable and what else?
Oh, yeah. They're just givers.
And they give. And that's what we know about you. You know, we know you're sexy. We know you're lovable. We know you give.
But I do have a question of what's the exercise or mindset or some kind of mantra for me to not turn all my self-training into not expecting when I'm with a man. You know, I had a relationship for 2 years, and in 2 years he gave me absolutely nothing, not a birthday gift, not nothing. And I felt gray.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So, I mean, the choice is, it's who you choose. You know, I mean, the mantra is, I will choose better. You know, I mean, that's the whole thing. I will choose better, and I won't just pick a man who sees me as a white poodle. You know, I'll pick somebody who sees me as the person that I am, which is a little girl who's wants to be her own way.
Oh, I don't think there's a person like that.
Oh, there are many. There are many.
Think?
Yeah, what's your name?
Anna,
I want to thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you.
Sure. Speak to you again
one day. Enjoy the holidays.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi there.
Hi. My name is Mina. I'm calling from Queens. How are you?
Mina, are you calling from your car?
Yes, I'm calling from my car. I'm listening to WBI. I wanted to have a comment.
Sure, tell me.
A holiday in our country, I come from India, is a family who are always together. You don't need a gift or a holiday to bring the family together. Here, holiday has become a grief. It's not an enjoyment. It's like you open a package. There's no love in there. I mean...
Well, that's not for everybody. You think that's for everybody?
I think it's...
I know plenty of places where there's lots of love among the family.
I know, but family doesn't need a holiday or an occasion to bring it together.
Oh, so in India, you don't need an occasion to bring it together.
No, we keep our old parents in our house.
So Indian people are better than other people.
Indian people have a different philosophy about life. We don't put our parents into the nursing home. We take care of them until they are done. And then here, the people in the nursing home, they wait for a Thanksgiving card or a Christmas card or a gift. These holidays, the occasions have made a family matter of business.
I hear you. So what's your name, Mina? Did you say your name was Mina?
Yes, my name is Mina. I'm talking about the philosophy. What happened to the humanism or the love?
Well, let me ask you, Mina, what about your humanism and your love for the people who are not Indian, who make these mistakes?
I think that if you get rid of this buying and shopping and...
But what about the people who are trapped? The people who are stuck, who do it? What about them? Can you love them too? Or do you demand, do you say, I thought you did, but you know the way you sound critical of everybody.
No. I'm saying the love should be an universal. It doesn't mean...
So you have that right now, universal, even for people who decide that they have to buy all the presents and do all the stuff.
I mean, they're helpless. They're crippled. They are,
and you love them also.
For everybody, and I feel that this business of love has taken out the love of humanism. Like Dr. King once said, there is so much water on this earth, and why we should pay for the water.
Mina, I want to thank you so much for calling in. I hear the abundant love that you feel for the people in the universe, even if they're not Indian. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, love should not be a business. It should be a matter of heart.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a nationality either. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Thank you, Mina. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Armand.
Hey.
How you doing? This is Insarara.
Insarara, how are you?
Well, first thing I want to say is I want to say that I'm grateful for the fact that you're giving us this information on the air.
Yes.
That's the first thing, just give you that grateful. And you kind of know how I am. The first thing you said, I say probably my same mantra about five times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest human freedom is that you can choose your attitude in any given set of circumstances. And so when they say, how am I? I simply say, I'm between fantastic and beyond perfect.
Yeah.
So, I wish I could say that. I said, you can. You can say that. You know, you can decide how you want to be. I said, this is my choice. And then, you know, one thing further, it's like, what you say is what you manifest. To use my own specific, I'm going to my wife's home, and we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner, and she's going to, you know, cook for all of her family. Now, I probably prefer to have, you know, just her and I together, but she wants to do this, and she likes doing it. So what's, you know, for me, what's the problem? I mean, I'll enjoy myself. I'll have a good time. I'll decide that, you know.
Do you know why she needs it?
Oh, yeah. This is something traditional. She loves doing it. She's very good at cooking, all those, you know, reasons. And she seems to like the fact that you know, I can do it, and then, you know, a little later, maybe a couple of days later, we'll sort of have just our time to spend together. But, you know, again, you can always choose to make the lemonade if you really want to. I mean, well, if you know that you can choose to make the lemonade, then you can do it. I think that what happens to so many people is they don't know that they can make that choice. They go, yeah, but. I go, yeah, I hear the but the but says that you can't choose to be okay. Yes, I know all these things are going on around you in the society and the environment and so forth, but you can still choose to say, you know, I'll enjoy the sun. I'll still be okay right now. Yeah, I have the debt, but I'll choose to be, like, happy about, oh, I don't know, the fact that I'm still alive.
You know, Antarara, I know exactly what you're saying, but I've seen enough people who don't have a choice.
Okay.
Because their depression is such and their chemistry is such that they've crossed over the line and the words alone don't do it.
That's the official definition of depression.
That is the definition.
The clinical definition that you can't really make that choice.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So you're a beautiful guy out there spreading your word all over and you touch a lot of people. But I'd also love you to have the compassion for the people who can't step up to the plate. They just can't.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then, we need people like
that. Then I usually suggest, I'll say, you know, listen, do you ever, maybe therapy or you know, again, that as you know, the one thing.
The best thing you could do is take somebody like that to a soup kitchen.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
say, well, help me out. We're going to serve people.
Yeah.
Makes all the difference in the world.
The best thing was when I volunteered to work for St. John of the Divine for Thanksgiving, and it was great. I mean, you know, we were giving people clothing, and of course you learned what gratitude was, but by doing it, you felt the love, of course.
Now that's going on right now. That's at Riverside Church, right?
Yes, it is. Yes,
that'll be happening this week.
Every Thanksgiving they do it, too.
You know, it's an interesting thing about St. John the Divine. Did you ever look on the southern portal, the western portal, which is the back facing the river?
No, no.
If you look at all the sculptures up there, you'll see these sculptures of all these saints. But on the third row and the second column, there's a sculpture of Albert Einstein. It really is. They put him in there.
He was a great humanitarian.
You know, so they put him in there. 1930, he came to the church. And they showed him in the church that there he was. He's there with Darwin and a number of other people. It's also a worthwhile thing. But thanks a lot, Ansarara. It's always good to hear your voice.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Time to take one more call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille on the air. Hello there.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here. Hello.
Is this Dr. Armand?
Yes, I'm here too.
I want to call to say thank you very much for bringing up the whole issue of gratitude. But what I found a little unnerving, I normally like to listen, I don't like to call, but there was a woman who called a couple of calls ago who was from India, and she went into this whole thing about how in her particular culture the idea of Thanksgiving is taken for granted. And I, you know, point of information, remember, I think most Americans tend to forget that Thanksgiving is a national holiday, which is meant to bring all of us as a people, united people, together. I know you were talking to people in terms of their individual issues, you know, the whole subject of gratitude. And I love some of the responses you gave to a number of people. But it is a national holiday, and it's meant to be an inclusive one, and maybe the only time when people of every ethnic group known to humankind has a chance, at least in the United States, to have a feeling of togetherness, relatedness to each other, you know, a priori to the whole, you know, thing about who I am as a person, how I relate to my family, or, you know.
So, I mean, what do you do? Does your heart just get wide open at this time of year?
Well, like one of your respondents who called and talked about doing special things, I also volunteer at churches on Thanksgiving, but I do it on a regular basis, not exclusively on, you know, holidays like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter. I try to make it a normal practice of at least when I have the time, available time, at least once a week, normally on a Saturday, to volunteer in a soup kitchen. But the idea of Thanksgiving, I mean, you know, I think what eludes a lot of people is that we have this sense of exclusivity about it. And I mean, when Abraham Lincoln declared the national holiday in the United States in 1863, at the height of the Civil War, it was an attempt to say, despite even the wars that we're having with each other, this terrible internecine Civil War, that it's a time for all of us to just give thanks to the divine creator, you know, for the fact that we have the freedoms that we have, you know.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Appreciate what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. And all perspectives, including it's a day of grieving. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Hey, listen up, my friends. I want you to be listening to all the programs at WBAI, and I want you to feedback to me what you think of the changes. Like we heard from Tom, it energizes the station. Want to thank you very much. I'll be back with you next Tuesday at 1 p.m.